Genesis 8, starting at verse 1. Then God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were also stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters receded continually from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then the ark rested in the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. So it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Then he sent out a raven which kept going to and fro until the waters had dried up from the earth. He also sent out from himself a dove to see if the waters had receded from the face of the ground. But the dove found no resting place for the sole of her foot, and she returned into the ark to him, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her in and drew her into the ark to himself. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out from the ark. Then the dove came to him in the evening, and behold, a freshly plucked olive leaf was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dried. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may abound on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth, according to their families, went out of the ark. Well, of course, local flooding has been quite an issue in a number of places this past week. And yet we know when roads are covered or electricity is out, it does not last for all that long. Indeed, all the flooding in the world since the many years since cannot compare with the worldwide flood at the time of Noah. Yet God provided for him and his family as promised beforehand. And so the one true God brought the flood and removed it, renewing the earth. Yes, our God is so trustworthy, and he works by his Spirit in the world always as he determines is good. And so 2 points today. First, the covenant-keeping God can be trusted always, always. Secondly, God works by his Spirit for believers' good. Now, as in verse 1, again, we read, God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark. Remembering in that way means he acted as the covenant-keeping Lord, doing as he had planned. And so he is God who removed the flood. Indeed, the work of deliverance for Noah and all with him would be completed by causing the waters to recede. And we know how the flood came about with 40 days and 40 nights of torrential rain and upsurging of water from beneath the earth as well. Also, as is said, there were perhaps lesser storms over the 110 days thereafter, which kept the water at its top height. But at 150 days, the additional water ceased altogether and the flood began to recede. For as we're told, God caused a wind to blow over the whole earth. He also caused the fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven to stop. Our God restrained all the waters then. And so the Lord, of course, he controls wind and rain, which man cannot. And he does that, which man can't, no matter what the weatherman may try to claim or tell us. Well, brothers and sisters, the sound of the wind here, as I remember sitting in the study, was Thursday evening was very apparent. And no doubt it had some drying effect as the wind helps to cause evaporation of water, as we know. No doubt as well, many electric fans are running to dry out water in basements around us right now. And yet, how great was the wind to help evaporate the flood over the whole earth? Yes, God did that as He provided for His world. And also, you can remember the covenant-keeping God would use wind to divide the Red Sea, to provide the way for Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. Well, now in verse 4, on the 17th day of the 7th month of Noah's 600th year it is, the ark rested on the mountains of Ararat. It says the mountain, so it doesn't say exactly which one, but the highest mountain there of that name, probably, was met, Mount Ararat, and it is almost 17,000 feet high. It is at the eastern tip of the nation of Turkey today, next to Armenia. In any case, it was 150 days or 5 months since the flood began. To that day, it began to recede, according to chapter 7, verse 11, when it began. And also immediately after the waters began to go down, the ark settled on the mountain. The bottom of the ark would have been close to the peaks, since the water at its highest was 15 cubits, recall, or 22 and a half feet above them. Well, obviously, Noah knew the water was receding when the ark so settled. And that decrease continued until the first day of the 10th month, verse 5, the tops of the mountains could be seen. And so if the ark was on the tallest mountain around, in the 2.5 months since settling, the water could be thousands of feet lower at this 10th month. Now, it is of some interest that Josephus, an early Jewish historian, and the scholar Jerome thought there were some remnants of the ark left in the early centuries since Christ lived on earth. In any case, you know, a fellow from my church in St. Louis once went on an expedition there, seeking the site of the ark. And he told of the snow and the ice and everything that is there. But, they did not find anything. But as I say, it's a difficult place to reach with snow and ice cover and governmental hindrances as well. Anyway, here in the 12th month, Noah had twice sent out the dove, which returned with an olive leaf. For by then the waters had gone down enough for branches of olive trees to be above the water line on the lower plains where they grew. It is said, by the way, that olive trees can sprout shoots even under water. Well, that bringing back of the olive leaf was, as said, the first sign of resurrection of the earth to new life and salvation for those in the ark. For the covenant-keeping God kept His word, of course, and He can be trusted always, at all times, in your life and mine. Yes, we are to look unto Him. And above all, the Lord is the God who foreshadowed eternal salvation here. And praise be to God, He has brought it to pass for all who rely upon, who trust in Jesus Christ. Our God is truly the covenant-keeping God. Indeed, He is that one who always remembers His care. Now, clearly, the Lord was never unmindful of Noah. He sustained him and his family, and all the creatures every moment in the ark. God was so committed to them. But to bring them out, all out, to a new world was His plan, even as He cared for them. You can recall, as Jesus said, "Not a sparrow falls to the ground without our Father's will being done." And so when He is that one remembering the animals, the Lord will certainly show favor to His people. Of course He will. Therefore, His faithful love, His timely intervention to help those He loves is meant by this remembering of Noah. It was the fulfillment of chapter 6, verse 18, when God said, I will establish my covenant with you. So he did. He fulfilled what he promised. Much later, he would likewise, as Exodus tells us, remember Israel in Egypt, in their bondage there, and bring them out. Well, God is that covenant-keeping one. He truly is. Nonetheless, I say 5 months waiting for the waters to begin to recede would seem long. And Noah and family could feel as if they were abandoned, yet it was not so. And when finally delivered, brought out of the ark, as Calvin said, they could acknowledge that they had been rescued from 1,000 deaths. Oh yes, all the world perished except those in the ark. And so certainly, brothers and sisters, you and I also are called upon to trust our God, to trust our Lord, to rely upon His providence, if it ever seems He is forgetting us. The reality is, He does not forget. He cannot. Certainly not. And His care will testify at last of His mindfulness for us, for all His covenant people. After all, dear ones, the 150 days of waiting, even that time, should not seem surprising. For you know, our God usually works His deliverances gradually. Gradually. Truly centuries prepared for Christ's coming. For His coming to this world and His death on the cross to save sinners. Oh yes, the covenant-keeping God always remembers His care for His people. Well, as for the resting place of the ark, God remembered His care even in choosing that very place. For it is said, it is at the center of the longest landlines for travel, going north, south, southwest, east, and all. The longest landlines for travel on earth. And so, as one said, it was the most suitable spot in the world for the tribes and nations that sprang for the sons of Noah to descend from its heights and spread into every land. And so then on the first days of the first month of Noah's 601st year, verse 13, he removed the covering of the ark. Well, some say that covering was probably a covering of animal skins put over the roof to make it more waterproof, and by removing it, it would help dry the air inside. In any case, we're told, Noah looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry. And yet that word, the Hebrew word for dry there, means free of water. Free of water. And so Noah and his family could have thought, it was certainly time to go out. And yet, as you can imagine, the ground would be soft and muddy for some time. In fact, it was 57 more days until the earth was completely dried, verse 14, meaning dry or, well, dry and firm. Through those days of waiting, Noah depended on God's command for just when to leave the ark. An obvious lesson for you and me is that our God knows better than we. He knows better for us than we do for our care. And when a provision should be given, it is up to our good Lord. The good Lord you can depend upon. Yes, brothers and sisters, we of course, you and I need His leading in every step of our journey in life. We all do. Now in verse 16, God did say, go out of the ark. Go out, it was not come out of the ark. For the Lord was with Noah and family even in the ark through all the time during the flood. And notice yet it is still Noah himself that God speaks to and deals with, as the whole plan of earthly salvation is centered on him at this time. His sons, all his family, benefit already, of course, but they will not be spoken to and commanded directly until we come to chapter 9. Well, as Noah was commanded to come into the ark and bring his family, now the command is given to go out. Again, clearly, the emphasis is on God's action to save man. It is not on human ingenuity and planning. And by the Lord's care, Noah stepped into a world washed clean by judgment, as it were. Oh yes, it took patience for them to wait upon God's direction. And it is said, we are to attempt nothing without an approving conscience. That is, God's word and spirit working through it must direct you and me, brothers and sisters. He is to direct us in all of life again. Now, in the last two verses, we're told how Noah's family and all the animals, according to their families, went out of the ark. And so all the kinds of animals that entered were saved. And by families, yes, it could mean that they increased in the ark. In any case, God always remembers his care for his people, certainly more so than he has compassion for the animals. Again, we who trust in Jesus, we are assured of his care through the scriptures, and we are assured in all the ways that he has worked for us in the history of the world. Truly, dear ones, the covenant-keeping God can be trusted always. Second, then, God works by his Spirit for believers' good. Well, the first verse can remind us of that, for the Hebrew word for wind there is also a word for spirit. Also, you can remember the Spirit of God was active, as said in chapter 1, verse 2, hovering over the face of the waters of the unformed earth. The Spirit of God then worked in creation and now worked in the renewing of the earth. And so indeed, God works by his Spirit for believers' good, even in making them a new creation. Oh, an image of that is shown in the sending of the raven and then of the dove, verses 7 and following. And as Noah sent them out to check the drying up of the waters, the raven flew to and fro as it could rest on mountain tops and feed on dead creatures in the water. It therefore told nothing of a new creation being prepared, really. And yet Noah knew of the different natures of the two birds, and that the raven would settle on any carcass it saw. The dove, however, would only settle on what was dry and clean. And it gives a picture of a new creation in that way. And we must be made new, counted as clean, justified in our souls as new creatures in Jesus Christ. That is the Holy Spirit's work to accomplish giving true faith. And so also at Christ's baptism, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. And that can remind us of this dove being mild, sensitive, and discerning, seeking the new creation. Anyway, the Holy Spirit does truly make God's people a new creation when he regenerates us. As proclaimed in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, as for Noah, he was called to go out of the ark as a picture of a new creation himself. Now he is almost a second Adam, leading the way for mankind to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth again. That would be said to him as it was to Adam in chapter 1. So it would be to Noah in chapter 9 here. Certainly God also renewed the blessing of creation on the animals here, that they may abound, verse 17. Along with that very blessing, the renovation of the earth was clearly promised to Noah. The animals would increase, they would spread out, all would be a new creation. And all Christians, yes, we will be a new creation spiritually and are so, thanks to to the saving work of Jesus at the cross, and which God's Spirit applies to us. Therefore, dear ones, as said, the spectacular deliverance in the ark is seen as a mere preliminary to salvation proper, spiritual and eternal salvation, which is a new creation in Christ. Oh, as we've seen in these chapters, the judgment of sin had brought the new world to Noah. How much more you and I are to know that the judgment of sin placed on Jesus provides for all his followers to be a new creation. And as written in 1 Peter 3:18 and following, this flood, the worldwide flood, and Christian baptism express the reality of God's provision of life, life coming through death. Well, the spiritual effect of believers being made a new creation by the Holy Spirit, baptizing and applying Christ's work, is described in Romans 6, 3, 4, and 6. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Slaves of sin. Oh yes, beloved of God, his Spirit made a new world, and he makes all believers to be a new creation spiritually. Therefore, again, we are to give evidence of that new work by faith in Jesus Christ. We're to show it by new obedience to our God. You and I are to show ourselves to be so, a new creation. Lastly, God works by his Spirit for believers' good, granting them new character. New character. Well, certainly God's Spirit gives rest of soul to those who are brought to faith after great tossings in the sea of sin and condemnation outside of Christ. Some, you know, are being converted at all times in this world. Some are being converted to Christ, even from Islam, for example, who confess that truth which they could not see before. Well, as for Noah, when the ark rested after 40 days, he opened the window, as meant, and, you know, he was surrounded by the mountains, perhaps. Probably he could not even see the lower plains. But he knew it took 40 days for the flood to reach its utmost height. So he may have thought it would take the same time to recede. He was not told otherwise. And in that way, his faith and patience were exercised. Again, obviously, fellow believers, our faith and patience will be exercised in this life as well, so that you and I may have a new character. Oh, the wicked will not have patience and wait upon Christ's return, certainly. They will not wait. They will not long for the glorious eternal life for believers, that life to come. They will rather feed like the raven on dead things, that is, spiritually dead things, leading only to sin and condemnation. And yet our spiritual rest is found truly and only in Christ, the ark of salvation. And so we each need to fly to him always. Look to him for that rest. And there we find new Christian character being developed. Also consider the waiting and hoping of those in the ark and how that is shown. Noah waited again and again to send out the birds, took time in between the sendings forth of even the dove. He waited to remove the cover. He waited to hear God's command. So how you and I must wait and have our hope in the Lord and in his goodwill for us. Serving him here and forever must be our greatest desire, of course. Certainly Noah was resourceful, and yet he showed that self-discipline, waiting upon the word of God, waiting upon his timing and his word to direct him. Again, in the same way, we are to show Christian character. Self-discipline and patience as fruit of the Spirit will lead us to seek God's directions in our lives. Well, a new character can be understood as called for in how Noah, family, and animals went out of the ark, for it was a most orderly proceeding as described here. And our God is a God of order. And so a Spirit-led character will seek to have good order indeed in doing what pleases the Lord. And of course they did then come out. They obeyed God when commanded to come forth, to come. They obeyed God when commanded to come into the ark, and now when commanded to come out of it, to go out of it. Oh, what joy it must have been to leave that ark after a year within it. I say, think of that when you feel impatient with your trials in life. And let us also remember that the way of joy in this world, it is always in obeying our God, following His commandments. You know, any other path in life is instead trouble and misery. And the unbeliever is in misery, whether he faces that spiritual condemnation before God or not. Truly, fellow Christians, the testing of our faith cannot typically match what Noah went through. Yet having the indwelling Spirit who creates and renews, may we give evidence of being new creatures with new character through the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in joys and troubles, may we each bear such, and may we bear such witness to Him by the Spirit's work for our good and God's glory. As said in Romans 5, 2-5, let us rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Yes, the covenant-keeping God can be trusted always. And God always works by His Spirit for believers' good. Thanks be to our God. Amen. And let us pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, how we do praise You that You are that God of salvation to Your people. As You created all the world and You provided the redemption for us, when so quickly our first parents turned away and sinned, and we have received that depravity even through that work of Adam. But yet You are the God who has provided the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, who obeyed in all things and gave Himself at the cross. May we truly be a thankful people then, as we know You are that covenant-keeping God, and You work in all things for our good, remembering Your care. And You work by Your Holy Spirit to make us new creatures and have new character. May we so follow after Christ then in all gratitude and be conformed to His image. Thank You for Your mercies. Forgive our sins and increase Your sanctifying work in us even more and more that we would follow Christ in thankfulness. May we bear good witness to Him. We do pray it all for Your glory and for our good and the good of others as we pray in Jesus' name.